Half the time when they end up exposed to something dodgy, it's by accident. They are not actively seeking whatever they're coming across. But then they're scared to tell because they're scared of the consequences.
And they don't necessarily see a strange person or unknown person speaking to them and contacting them on social media as a stranger in the sense of the word.
No. And then you've got all these things like catfishing, people pretending to be somebody else. So whereas before we knew there was a dodgy guy sitting in the white van on the side of the road, those guys are still there. And now they've got more access to our kids. Mm-hmm. And even things like bullying. So before, in my generation, if there was a bullying incident, it would be where people had physical access to you. So an event could happen at school. Now that event can happen at school, it can get videoed, and it follows you home. It's following you in your pocket in this little smartphone that everybody's got now, and it's coming home with you, and other people climb on the bandwagon, other friends, so now it's coming to you and it's amplified. So we are seeing rates of depression and anxiety on the increase because children are not equipped to deal with all these emotions and the experiences that they're having. But if we are too scared to have those conversations with our children, and if we're not talking to them about it, and if we're not leading by example, and if we have a device in front of us all the time, then they are going to do the same.
Are certain social media platforms more dangerous or risky than others?
They all are. They are all brilliant. I wouldn't take any of them away, but they all are dangerous. So what happens is if you want to install something like Snapchat, you get the app and it goes, and you've got to have the permissions. Now, Emma Sadlier is a social media lawyer. She read those terms and conditions. Doesn't make any sense. Basically, when you say yes, because if you don't say yes, you're not going to get the app.
Mm.
So everyone's got it. They have the right to use every image you have ever posted, and it doesn't go away. Nothing on the internet ever goes away. For the rest of Snapchat's life, they can augment it, manipulate it, do it with it whatever they want, share it anywhere they want. That is the permission you are giving. Also, with things like WhatsApp, Facebook, those permissions automatically have location sharing. So if you go onto your phone settings and you turn off the child's location tracking, it is still available within that app. So if you have got followers or you are following people, you've let them in, they can have access to that kind of information from you, of you. And then kids will say, oh, well, I don't have Facebook. Yes, you do have Facebook because Facebook is owned by WhatsApp. So they have those algorithms that all your information. So the one thing that kids think they know is the law, and they don't know the law, because from the age of 7, you are accountable. From the age of 10 in South Africa, you can be prosecuted and incarcerated. And kids do not believe that that can happen to them, but it is happening in South Africa. The thinking behind that is the psychology is that you actually know if something ugly has been sent to you, or something inappropriate has been sent to you, or if a child is posting something about any other child that is under the age of 18, if that image or that verbal content or that voice message is about a child that is under 18, it is seen as distribution. So of pornography, of abuse, of whatever the nature of the content is. If I see it, or it's sent to me on a WhatsApp group, and I don't leave the group or comment that this is inappropriate, and I think, ha ha ha, this is so funny, I'm going to send it to 10 other, I am distributing either child pornography because that child is under the age of 18, or I am slandering, or I am making, I'm hurting someone's dignity, their right to privacy. So these laws and these parameters have to be explained to children. because they think that it will never happen to them. And this is the thing with parents. My child won't. You can't think that way. Mm-hmm. It's here. It's happening. We have to accept it and we have to help them to deal with it, because they get exposed to things that are at a younger age that they are not ready to deal with. And if they're not having conversations with you and we're not helping them deal with those situations, then they deal with it on their own, or they deal with it through their friends and they get the incorrect information.
As a parent, what can we do? How can we protect our children on social media and the apps on their phone that just seem to multiply by the day?
Yes, you just get your head around one and another one pitches up. So there are family rules that I think definitely need to be in place. And the first one is no phones in bedrooms, and especially at nights. They will say, I need to set my alarm. Darling, I will buy you an alarm clock. Chinatown is around the corner. No phone. So have a station in your house. Mine's in my kitchen, where we've got all the plugs set up. You do not move those adapters. Everybody's things go in there at night. It is time to switch off, because half of these messages and things come through at night, or at times when that child needs to be switching off. Read a book. You are not taking a phone to your room. And then the other one is family time, meal times, that sort of stuff. When you're sitting at a table or a bra or opas come to visit, you do not have your phone in your hand. So we need to give them those parameters to set the boundaries, because if we're not teaching that, they're not going to learn. And I know as kids, when they get together as a group of friends, they might all be in the same room with their phones in their hands. They are actually communicating. It's different from what we understand. But we still need to show them how to do it another way. And that would be no phone zones. The other one is talk about the apps that they've got. Talk about what the permissions are for those apps. Go into the settings and show your child and exit and say, oh, this is a bit dodgy. This is a bit scary. And talk about what the app does and engage with your kids about what they are doing on those apps. Then the other thing is, you are not your child's friend. You are the parents. Your job is to protect them. You have every right to have their passwords. And this is something that the parents and children fight about a lot. It's an invasion of my privacy. Nonsense. I am the mother. My one job is to keep you safe and make sure you turn out to be a decent human being. I am having your password, or you are not having a phone. That needs to be a rule. And that has come from multitudes of research. The other thing is never fill in personal information. And that is the problem that we have with social media. It's not the actual app. It's the in-chat messages that happen. So you will have a whole lot of people sharing, say, a video or sharing something funny that happened at school or whatever it is. And then they will start a private chat. And that private chat, if it's from someone you don't know, one of your followers that you have no idea who they are, ends up sending dodgy content or click on this link or you have won. All of those things are, you've won a new cell phone. Okay, here are the forms. Please fill in your name, your surname, your birthday, your ID number. And people do this. We've seen dodgy sites set up on Facebook, Miss Teen South Africa. These children were enticed to go and fill in application forms. Right, you're doing so well. Private messaging. You're doing so well. We need a picture of your front and behind in a bikini. 70 South African families fell for this. Victoria's Secret has said they love your profile. You're doing amazingly. We need to make sure you've got no scars and no tattoos on your body. We need 2 nudes from the front, 2 nudes from the back. These things ended up on pornography sites overseas in Russia.
I can understand what you say, that parents need training in this. And yeah. You've done it for parents, but you want to open it up for the community at large as well.
Yes, we do, because I think it's a right for every parent. So we are hosting another one. The date has not been finalized because we are still sorting out all our calendar events. We'd like to offer it so that they can either do it online and tune in there, or come in and actually do the training. It's device specific because Apple devices and Android devices are very different. So we want to make sure that they leave having the right, how do you check, how can you spy, how can you not infringe on your child's privacy but actually still know what's going on.